Would you please take your Bibles this morning and turn with me to the book of Psalms, Psalms 133. Yesterday morning, we looked at Psalm 130, and in that we learned how someone in the despair of sin was able to come out of that through confession. And then last night, we looked at the new birth, and I was so encouraged last evening by a number of students who responded to the gospel and accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior last night. And all God's people said, Amen. It was a wonderful thing. And so thankful for the working of the Lord and His continued work. This morning, I'd like us to look at a number, Psalm 133. Yesterday, as we looked at Psalm 130, I talked about briefly the idea of a song of degrees or a psalm of ascents. These were songs that were sung by Jewish pilgrims going to the city of Jerusalem three times a year for their annual festivals. And these were songs that they sung on the journey. And these songs were written in such a way that they were to be instructional. They were to teach them as they went through this journey lessons about life's long journey. But they were also to be inspirational. It was to inspire their faith, to strengthen their faith. And as they would go to the city of Jerusalem, it was like a huge family reunion and in a revival meeting, because these were from the same family. They were the children of Jacob, the children of Israel. And they had 12 sons, and those sons had children. And of course, they were all cousins. A massive family reunion. And so it was a great, great experience for them to go there. And as they went up to this city, they experienced a blessing that God gives. And what is that blessing? That's the blessing I'd like to speak about this morning. We find it in Psalm 133, beginning in verse 1. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. This morning I want to speak to you on the very obvious theme, and that is the theme of the blessing of unity. And of course, these Jewish people experienced that blessing, that feeling, that atmosphere of gathering together in the city of Jerusalem, and they're worshiping the Lord together in this huge group of people. We have students here generally from all 50 states, depending on North Dakota. Thankfully, we have a student here from North Dakota. I met one. We have students here from 46 countries. And when you think about just the student body here and the gathering together, this is truly a blessing. But there's a blessing that comes even on a school like Bob Jones University that can be a blessing from God, and that's the blessing of unity. That's my hope and prayer for this school year, that we will experience what this psalmist is writing about. Perhaps you remember King Jeroboam, who was the one that led in the split of the nation of Israel, where their 10 tribes went to the north and 2 to the south, and Rehoboam ruled the southern kingdom called Judah. And then, of course, in the north was the kingdom of Israel. When Jeroboam began his rule, he knew that he would lose his throne if the people went back to the former way, back to the other tribes. And so he set up altars in Dan and Bethel, the furthest city in the north and the furthest city in the south, and said, go and worship there and don't go to Jerusalem, because he knew that if they went to Jerusalem, that there would be a unifying factor. And so he wanted to maintain the split. There is power in unity. And so that's what Psalm 133 is all about. And so this morning, as we look at this psalm, let's ask 4 investigative questions as we unfold and try to unpack this psalm. The first question is, what is the setting? What's going on? And actually, we see in Psalm 133 something interesting. It says a song of degrees of David. That means, obviously, David was the author. Now, what do we know about David's reign? Well, we know his predecessor, Saul, led the kingdom, led the country through years of conflict and dissension. There was division within the ranks. But when David ascended to the throne, it marked a new beginning. And what did David do? He unified the 12 tribes. He established a capital called Jerusalem. He brought the Ark of the Covenant, where the presence of God dwelt in a tabernacle, to the city of Jerusalem. And then he laid the plans for the eventual building of the temple that was built by his son Solomon. He worked at bringing unity to the country. And he begins this psalm in verse 1 with the word, "Behold." He is drawing attention to what seemed to be an extraordinary reality after a time of dissension. Behold, look at this wonderful blessing of unity. If you've ever seen or been a part of a civil war, you know how fragile unity is, and you know how wonderful it is when it returns. A number of years ago, I went to the country of Liberia in 2001 to do a series of revival meetings and evangelistic services. They had had civil war, and the civil war had ended just a few years prior. But in reality, the war was still in the minds of the people because there was so much murder and killing and rape and pillage and plunder, and it was horrible. And they had now peace, and there was once again a healing within the nation. And there was a blessing that was coming. For there to be a unity, it's always a blessing. Here the brothers, the family, are mutual companions. They're on a journey together to the city of Jerusalem for this required festival. They're going up to the city to focus their attention on worshiping the Lord. But like any journey, there's always challenges. There's always the reality of disharmony for many, many different reasons. Think about it. These travelers, they're living together. That's not easy. There's a limitation and a competition for resources and supplies. I wonder how many have already experienced somewhat of a competition over a limitation of things that you may have in the dormitories. They had clan rivalries. There were different personalities. There were lots of opinions. There were even some cultural differences between tribes. And so they had to work at something that's not natural. Disharmony is more of a natural reality than unity, because unity is a blessing from God. I think of the huge adjustments people make when they come to be a student at Bob Jones University. I think of our international students who come here. Can you imagine the cultural adjustments they're making? They have to make adjustments to three cultures. Number one, the United States. Number two, the South. Number three, Bob Jones University. I mean, that can really mess you up. And you come here and you have all kinds of different experiences. Some of you grew up in a family where you were an only child. An only child. You've always had your own room. You don't know life without your own room. And now you've been thrown in a room with two people that you don't know. And you have to share things. And you have to get along. Some of you have never sat in what we would call a regular classroom. You're homeschooled. You're already thought, I could be totally done with my school by 11 o'clock in the morning, and I'm wasting time sitting in these classes. Some of you have come here, and you look at the rules at Bob Jones University, and you think, freedom, finally. I've had people tell me, oh, Bob Jones is not strict. You should have grown up in my family. This is like freedom. Some of you come to Bob Jones, and this is the strictest school in the world. I met a student a few years ago. He was actually from here in South Carolina. I said, "How you doing?" And he said, "Well, I'm having a hard time." I said, "What are you having a hard time with?" This is a guy. He said, "The dress code." I said, "The dress code?" He said, "Yeah, I've got to wear a collared shirt." I thought, "Oh, this is horrible." I said, "Dude, come on, man." I said, "This is actually good for you. We're helping you." I said, do you want to be successful in life?" "Yes." I said, "Well, you can't be successful without discipline." I said, "Where do you get discipline? It just doesn't come in a bottle. You don't go buy it. You got to have structure. Structure means accountability." I said, "Man, the best decision you ever made in your life was to come to Bob Jones University." He went, "Oh, okay, okay, all right." I mean, adjustments. And to get everybody adjusted and going in the same direction and loving people in the process, that is a great blessing. The setting was one in which there was this change that was taking place. So what's the lesson? That's the second question. Well, it seems very obvious as you read the psalm. He says, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity." The word unity means to be all together. Now, you can be all together and not be all together. So it's more than that. It's more than just bodies in a room. It's the spirit. It's the atmosphere. You could say there's alignment. There's fellowship. We can have a team and not be a team. The two greatest teams I ever played on in my life was my 10th grade year in high school, our junior varsity football team, and my senior year in college, our soccer team. They were the best teams I've ever played on. We won the most games. And I believe as I look back, one of the great distinguishable characteristics was how unified we were. How we felt like though we were many, we were one together. Think of the founding of our country, the United States of America. Our motto, E pluribus unum, out of one, many. Think of the signers of the Declaration of Independence who were committed and unified to pledging their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor. They were committed to this. You don't have unity just naturally. Disharmony is natural. Unity is a blessing from God. Think of the beginning of the early church, 120 gathered together in an upper room, and the Bible says they were in one accord in prayer and supplication. Think of Paul's prayer for the Philippian church when he said, "Fulfill you my joy that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind." Unity is a blessing from God. We should all long for this. Think of the start of Bob Jones University today and yesterday. We said the creed. The purpose of the creed is to unite believers from different backgrounds. Why? Because we can have differences over things. And differences can lead to divisions. And the founder's intention was to unify a student body around the fundamentals of the Christian faith. And so from your graduation, you can go out into the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ, where the Lord leads you and uses you in a great way. He intended from the very beginning for there to be unity. And the blessing, he says here, is the blessing of God's people being unified together. So that leads to the third question, and that is, what is this blessing like? And notice he begins with some descriptive adjectives. He says, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." The word "good" there is the Hebrew word tov. It's speaking of the nature of this blessing. It's good. Like a good meal, a good violin, a good car. The nature of it, it is good. It is something that in and of itself should be strived for. And the word "pleasant," it's really referring to our response. It's the way we respond to something that's beautiful or something that's attractive or something that is tasty. We have a motto in my family from my wife. It says, "If you love people, feed them tasty food." Because good food makes people very happy. Unity gives a sense of fulfillment, of completion, and it makes us happy. No wonder David said, it is good for brethren to dwell together in unity. David is telling us the value of spiritual unity among the people of God. They're going up to Jerusalem. They're being together, but now they are to come together. Many things can pull at us, and many things can pull us apart. But this blessing, this which we are striving for, is a blessing from God. And then notice he gives us some very palpable illustrations to the Jewish people. Palpable meaning that you can feel it. There's an atmosphere that's there. What are the illustrations? Well, he tells us in verse 2, it's like the ointment, the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard of Aaron. Who is Aaron? He was the high priest. Who was the high priest? He was the one that mediated the blessings of God to the people of God. He was the channel through which the blessings came. The priesthood was a system that was set up by God on Mount Sinai. The anointing oil simply means that Aaron was the one who was chosen and set apart to be the mediator. That oil that ran down upon his head also pictured the blessings of God flowing down from above through the head to the people. Just like Jesus is the head of the church and blessings flow down through him. So it's a picture of that flow. And the oil, I believe, had a wonderful fragrance to it. It filled the air where Aaron was. You could call it a form of perfume. And so these priests were given the responsibility to mediate God's blessings between the Lord and the children of Israel. And think about it. The people depended on the priest for spiritual blessings. But the priest depended on the people for material blessings. Because the priests didn't work a job. They weren't farmers. Most of them were farmers. So they depended on the giving of the people to support them and the land. And so they were both dependent on each other, material blessings and spiritual blessings. And in a sense, everyone was blessing one another. Blessings unify because all people want to be blessed. A number of years ago, I was overseas in the city of Jerusalem. I was invited to attend a Shabbat meal. That's a Sabbath evening meal on Friday nights because the Sabbath day for the Jew begins somewhere around 6 o'clock on Friday and ends at 6 o'clock on Saturday. And so we did some of the traditional things you do in a Shabbat meal. You light candles, you pray prayers, and then we sat down, and then everybody turned and looked at me and asked me, would you please give us a blessing? And that blessing had to be to each individual. And to be honest with you, I felt super awkward. Because I know how to pray for you, okay? Would you please pray for us? I can pray for you. But I don't have people walk up to me and say, would you please bless me? And I was like, the Lord bless you. I mean, I was awkward. And yet, I learned something, that everyone wants a blessing. How many of you want a blessing? Raise your hand. Everybody wants a blessing. Could you imagine what it was like when Aaron was commanded by the Lord to bless the people and he mediated those blessings? The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. The Lord give you wholeness and wellness and healthiness and provide for you and meet your needs and keep you and protect you. And this image of this man, Aaron, is a symbol of God's blessings upon his people flowing down from heaven. And it's not just a blessing upon the select few. It's the blessing upon all. High tides lift all boats. We want to see all people blessed, and we are caught up in the blessings of the Lord. There's no competition here. The famous preacher Vance Havner said, when the tide of blessing, God's blessing goes out, every little shrimp has his own puddle. But when the tide flows in, everybody's swept up. The unity is found in the blessing of the Lord. But then there's a second image. And notice what it says in verse 3, as the dew of Hermon and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. The second image is the dew on two mountains, Mount Hermon and Mount Zion. Mount Hermon is the largest mountain in Israel. It's in the far north. It stands at 9,232 feet above sea level. Mount Zion is the mountain on which the city of Jerusalem is built. It stands at 2,500 feet above sea level. And Hermon and both Zion get the dew. And the dew is important because they need it for the growing of the crops. They need the water in a dry land. And so what is the image here picturing? It's picturing not only is there dew for the great, but there is dew for the small. One writer said it this way, it is not the refreshing nature of the dew, nor its gentle, all-pervading influence, which is the prominent feature. That which renders it to the poet's eye so striking an image of brotherly concord is the fact that it falls alike on both mountains. Let me put it really simple. We need the blessing of unity in the whole of Bob Jones University. We need the blessing of unity in societies. We need the blessing of unities in discipleship groups. And we need the blessing of unity in your own room. Whether big or small, we need the blessing. Conversely, disharmony hurts everyone. The African proverb says, when elephants fight, the grass suffers. The meaning is that the weak get hurt in conflicts between the powerful. The blessing unifies all because it is for all. And that leads me to the fourth and final question, and that is, what is the source of this blessing? Where does it come from? Well, it's very obvious. This blessing comes from the Lord. Verse 3, for there the Lord commanded the blessing. It's a gift from God. Every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from above. Three times in this psalm, the writer David uses the Hebrew word for the idea of something running down. He says it runs down upon the beard and it went down to the skirts and it descended upon the mountains of Zion. In the English, we have different words, but in the Hebrew, it's the same word. It's the idea of blessings falling down. Unity is a gift from God. It is something that is bestowed. It is not something that you achieve. It is something that God gives. And he says it is there in Jerusalem where the blessing comes. That is, in Jerusalem, God was there for the Jewish people. In the city of Jerusalem, it is there where they were to go and they were to pray. And so what is the source of this blessing? It comes to the people of God when they seek the Lord and they pray. And it comes from heaven. And in heaven, we have the foretaste of heaven. We get a little bit of taste. Have you ever tested something? A little bit of taste? Or perhaps before a Thanksgiving meal, a little taste of the turkey? What is unity? It is a little taste of heaven. And question, do we know anyone who prayed for unity? Let me conclude this morning by reading to you the prayer of Jesus for his own disciples and for you and I. In John 17 and verse 20, before Jesus died, listen to what he said. I do not ask for these only, that's his own disciples, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that's you and I, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may be perfectly one, completely unified, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them even as you loved me. Would you bow your head with me, please, as we pray? And would you ask the Lord to bless us here? Let us pray for His blessings. And we know the Lord is the blesser. Would you pray for unity? Would you pray for unity in your room and in your hall and in your dorm and on your team and in your society and in your university? Father, we realize that when we experience a oneness that is likened unto the oneness of the Father in His relationship with the Son, that this is truly a blessing. Father, we ask that You will help us to overcome our own sense of pride that leads to disharmony. And we ask, Lord, that You would bless us with the unity that is in heaven above. Thank You for the little taste of heaven that we have when we experience that. Lord, protect us and keep us. In Jesus' name, amen.